about getting America going again and growing again, providing jobs and opportunity here rather than overseas.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that is all about more jobs, fairer taxes, and bigger paychecks for American families. This is a now-or-never moment.
We're going to cut taxes for the middle class, make the tax code simpler and more fair for everyday Americans.
Taxes! Beautiful, lovely taxes!
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're glad to have you with us today. The new fiscal year starts this weekend. Let's talk about your taxes.
Thank you very much. You just want massive tax cuts. That's what you want. That's the only reason you're going so wild.
That's President Trump tempting a crowd of supporters in Indianapolis yesterday after Republicans unveiled the outlines of a proposal for the biggest tax overhaul in a generation.
Democrats and Republicans in Congress should come together, finally, to deliver this giant win for the American people and begin middle-class miracle. It's called a middle-class miracle.
Well, the president's middle-class miracle is currently a 9-page outline that includes reduced rates for most middle-class taxpayers, fewer tax brackets, simpler filing, but also big tax cuts for corporations, an elimination of the estate tax that's paid by the wealthiest Americans, and lots of other goodies, too. But more important than what's in this 9-page outline is what's not in it. Congress now has to come up with the detailed plan for this tax overhaul. And Republicans, they are desperate to get this right and not have it go the way of the failed Obamacare repeal. Here to break down what is in the plan is Kelsey Snell, congressional reporter for The Washington Post. Kelsey, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Kelsey, 9 pages is actually not super detailed when it comes to $1.5 trillion tax cut. What do we actually know about what Republicans want to do here?
Sure. What they say that they the biggest takeaway that they want people to look at their 9 pages and say, oh, this is what is happening to me, is that there are going to be lower rates for a lot of people. So they're taking 7 current tax brackets and breaking them down to 3, 12%, 25%, and 35%. And they're going to lower the corporate rate from 35% to 20%. Now, that's a big difference. That is a big difference, and those are big tax cuts. And so I think it's not a mistake that the president is focusing on the cuts themselves. But they're also talking about getting rid of most parts of the itemized deduction. So if you happen to own a house, you would still get your tax break. But it's not clear what would happen if you pay student loans and you get a tax break for the interest you pay on those loans. Or what would happen, there are a myriad other tax breaks that have gone unmentioned in this plan, including the state and local tax break, which is really important to people who live in big cities and big states like New York, California, and Illinois. A lot of people deduct thousands of dollars each year just from the state and local tax deduction alone.
So they'll have to wait and see how their taxes go down in this plan, if they do at all. You mentioned those 3 tax brackets. The top one you mentioned was 35%. There has been a lot of debate among Republicans about whether they want to cut taxes from 39% down to 35% for the richest people in this country.
Yeah, and one thing that they haven't been mentioning is a part of the reason that the tax bracket is at 39.6 for the top earners right now is because there's a surtax from the Affordable Care Act. And that was a surtax that was placed on the highest earners because there was an idea in the Obama administration that would help pay for some health services for basically anybody who was getting insurance on the individual market. Now, they don't say this explicitly, but it appears that tax would go away. And that's part of those tax breaks for the upper income brackets.
Let's talk a little bit about winners and losers also here. You mentioned a little bit about what's going to happen to middle income earners. I mentioned the estate tax, Kelsey Snell, in my intro there, paid by really only the richest Americans. What's the balance that congressional Republicans and the president are envisioning between tax relief for the very wealthiest people and some of those breaks that you described that middle income earners might get?
Yeah, so I spent some time talking to the Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady yesterday after this big announcement, and he said that it is unfair that Democrats are kind of casting this as a big loss for lower income people. He's saying that people who are in the middle and in the lower brackets actually will see their taxes cut too, and in part because they're going to be doubling the standard deduction. So people will see an across-the-board increase in their first pass at deductions, and that they won't need to itemize because they will already, you know, they will already be seeing big tax cuts. It's not entirely certain how that will work out, though, because, again, we're only seeing 9 pages, and the tax code right now is thousands of pages. We often see lawmakers paraded out there in big stacks and books of paper, but that's, I mean, 9 pages cannot rival that at this point.
No, it can't. And those thousands of pages of the tax code, Kelsey Snell, each one of those 1,000 pages has 100 lobbyists dedicated to getting money for their clients from each of those pages. What happens when the lobbyists are unleashed on this process? Every loophole, every little exemption is worth millions of dollars, hundreds of millions to somebody. This is going to happen, right?
Yeah, that is why we say tax reform is hard, and winners and losers of tax reform often bring it down. So we're expecting that the lobbyists have all been involved in this process to begin with. That's to be clear, that they have not walked away from trying to get Congress to bend to their wishes. But they will be in every congressperson's office. They will be showing up, they will be making phone calls, and they will be doing their best to make sure that the tax breaks for their constituents stick around. So be that corporate breaks, or there are plenty of lobbyists for the charitable tax deduction, or for the mortgage interest deduction, or for real estate developers. If there is a tax deduction out there, there is somebody who's getting paid a lot of money to make sure that it sticks around.
And as I mentioned, Kelsey Snell, before we let you go, I mean, Republicans are desperate to get this plan passed and to get it right. They're stung by the failure of their ACA repeal effort. But this isn't going to be easy, as you mentioned. How hard is it for this broad Republican coalition that's running Congress and the White House now to make sure they get something passed and get this tax cut done?
Sure. I think there is a huge political imperative for Republicans to get this done. As I talked to lawmakers yesterday, they were all saying that this is their goal. It is a much more natural political space for Republicans to talk about cutting taxes than it is for them to talk about reforming health care. Health care has never been a big issue for Republicans, and so it was not always the easiest fit. This is right in the sweet spot of a lot of people in the Republican Party. I will say, though, that there are lots of people who are not entirely certain that they're comfortable with giving tax breaks to the wealthy. There are a lot of people who aren't entirely certain that it's okay to get rid of these tax breaks. They agree in the broad strokes of what tax reform should do, but I wouldn't be surprised, and people shouldn't be surprised, if this looks like it has died 1,000 times before it passes, if it passes. It's going to be difficult, and the committees are going to do some serious battle over what is actually included in those extra, 1,000 pages of this plan.
Republicans will spend the rest of this year trying to get this big tax cut and tax reform passed. Kelsey Snell, Washington Post, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, at the beginning of President Trump's tax speech yesterday, he made sure to thank 2 people in the audience.
I also want to thank members of my economic team, Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Director Gary Cohn, for joining us as well. We appreciate it.
Now, behind the scenes, former Goldman Sachs executives Gary Cohn and Steve Mnuchin, who you heard the president mention there, have been crafting this new tax plan. Gary Cohn is President Trump's top economic advisor. Here he is on Fox Business earlier this month.
We are spending 100% of our time on taxes and tax reform, tax simplification. We believe this is the most important thing we can do to drive the U.S. economy, drive economic growth, drive prosperity, and drive wages. And that's what the president promised.
Gary Rivlin is an investigative fellow at the Investigative Fund. He's been tracking Gary Cohn's role in the White House for The Intercept. Gary, welcome.
Thank you.
Gary, the Republican Party today is basically torn between the conservative populists and nationalists, like Steve Bannon, and the corporatists, like say, Paul Ryan. Which side is happier to have Gary Cohn leading tax policy at the White House?
Oh, certainly the corporatists. Gary Cohn was a opponent of Steve Bannon and anyone on the more conservative economic nationalist side of things, much to their chagrin. In the first place, Donald Trump named Gary Cohn, former president of Goldman Sachs, as his chief economic advisor.
So Gary Cohn, chief former executive, Goldman Sachs, corporatist, been accused of being a Democrat by lots of people on
the
right.
He is a Democrat.
he is a Democrat. Not registered. Accused of being a Democrat, is a Democrat. So he's also called, you know, a globalist with all of the implications that come with that epithet for the right. Is there a risk for President Trump and his political base in having Democrat, globalist, corporatist Gary Cohn in charge here?
See, but to me, taxes is one place where it all comes together, cutting taxes. Gary Cohn's priority from the start, it was back in April that he and Secretary Mnuchin stood up and released their then one-page proposal. Now it's a nine-page framework. Then it was a one-page framework. And his goal from the start had been to slash corporate taxes. And his plan, their plan, was to cut it from 35%, which it is right now, to 15%. This plan unveiled yesterday cuts it down to 20%. But I don't think he's going to get any argument from the non-globalist, the Steve Bannon wing of the Trump administration on that front. There might be pushback on the personal income tax. Bannon raised hackles when he talked about creating a new higher bracket around 45% to tax the ultra wealthy. But on corporate taxes, I think all of the Trump White House is united in favor of that.
And there are already these fights behind the scenes about what to do about top earners, 39% versus 35%. How big should that corporate rate be, as you mentioned? Do you see Gary Cohn's fingerprints across this nine-page plan? And are they fingerprints that the president's political base eventually are going to live with?
Well, the first part of that question, certainly. Again, corporate taxes was the main priority. If this tax plan had taken effect already, Goldman Sachs, his former company, would save about $1.5 billion a year under this plan. You look at the estate tax. Gary Cohn very loudly called for the elimination of the estate tax. He was quoted on Capitol Hill calling people morons if they actually paid it. This plan eliminates the estate tax. Carried interest, that's a loophole that allows people in private equity, hedge fund managers who might make $100 million a year, pay a lower tax rate than their administrative assistants. That goes unmentioned here. Candidate Trump promised to get rid of the carried interest. There's no talk of it here. I doubt we're going to get rid of the carried interest. Last one, the alternative minimum tax. There was it's kind of a safety net for the very wealthy. You could take your loopholes, but you have to pay some taxes. Donald Trump in 2005, the one year we know, paid $31 million because of the alternative minimum tax. That too would be eliminated.
Gary Cohn, corporatist, Democrat, globalist, in charge of taxes at the White House. We'll see how the populists in President Trump's political base react. Gary Rivlin with The Intercept. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.